Join with me in the invocation. O God, our Mother, our Father, giver of life and health and of all things, all experiences and all relationships that are our delight and privilege to enjoy, and above all else, the giver of your Son, Jesus the Christ, whose life and teachings inform us of you and of your creative, luring, affirming, forgiving, reconciling love. O God, our God, hallowed be your name. We come to this hour of worship and celebration with thankful hearts for the knowledge we have of you, for the challenging opportunity we have to join with you in the ministry of bringing your love to every person and to every nation. With a deep sense of gratitude to you, O God, we now invoke your continuing blessing on us gathered here and on what we will do during this time of worship, as we honor the Southeastern graduating class of December 1986 on the occasion of their commencement. May your acclamation, "Well done, good and faithful servants," have special meaning for them. Having been true disciples here, may they know your leadership in discovering new and even more challenging places of service and ministry beyond this place. We invoke your blessing, too, on the families of these we honor, on parents who have made sacrifices and given support, on spouses who have stood by and given encouragement and affirmation, on children who have come to new and unfamiliar situations or who have done without their parents for periods of time in order that those whom we acclaim might have had the chance to prepare themselves for your service, and on friends and members of their congregations for love and care. So, by your grace and for your glory, O God, we invoke your blessing on all that we do, the prayers of our hearts, the meditations of our minds, and the feelings of our celebrations, that they will enlarge our understanding of your will and purpose for our lives as we live them from this day forward, and translate into such a practice of servanthood and ministry as is best known to us in the life and in the teaching of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we humbly make our prayer to you. Amen.
The Old Testament reading comes this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. May God bless to us this reading of the word, that we might truly hear.
The New Testament reading comes from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 20, through chapter 3, verse 4. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things which all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and doctrines? These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting rigor of devotion and self-abasement and severity to the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
I thought as I sat, wishing I had the capacity to paint this picture. If I did, I would make it our Christmas greeting for this year and every year, because I get the feeling that Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is about to give to the world, and that is a large statement, but I still make it, about to give to the world our best gift. And that is 123 young men and young women equipped insofar as formal education can equip them for their various Christian ministries. Welcome to this event. And welcome to this gift giving we receive from you who come from so many miles to be with these graduates today. Your good cheer, and we want to extend to you a bit of our own, because this really is the heart of the matter. This is the bottom line of the endeavor. This is what Southeastern's rigorous semester is all about. And we rejoice, as you do, with these who've come to this moment. Now, there are several things that are a bit special about this class. One is, so far as we can establish, and I think it's accurate to say, this is the largest December graduating class in the history of our school. 123 people. That, just a few years ago, was about the number we had in the spring graduation. But now, this large number at, really, you probably would call it midterm. We have not had a December graduation for all of the years of our school's life, but of late we've had to have one because the May graduation got exceptionally large and took an inordinate long time to have them, plus the fact this building could not hold all the people who needed and wanted to attend. Another thing about this graduating class is that there are at least two graduating today, Jim Randall Wadford and Dina Cassidy Lucy, who did most of their work at our off-campus center in Shelby, North Carolina. You may know that there is a certain number of hours that are required for anyone to graduate from Southeastern on campus. These two students, during summers and otherwise, were able to earn those hours here in Wake Forest, but the rest of their time they studied in an extension center. We predict more of that may happen in the future as Southeastern begins to realize that we do have an opportunity to deliver quality theological education to other places, and we now know that it can be done. And we rejoice with these two and those who are from the Shelby area in this milestone for us. There is another thing that I think may be true about this graduating class. Yesterday at the reception and this morning at the breakfast and looking over the list, it occurred to me we may have an unusually large number of these students who are not only sons and daughters of our own graduates, But extending that a bit, sons and daughters of specialized Christian ministers in the wide sense of that term. Now, we well know at Southeastern that laos, all God's people means, and all of us, are Christian ministers. But there is a specialization, and we are gifted and called and equipped in that regard. So pastors and missionaries and chaplains and ministers of education and music and other categories of ministry, all are involved in this question. If you are a son or a daughter of a minister in that specialized, ordained sense, would you hold up your hand a minute and let me see you graduates who are in that category? You can't see all their hands, but I can, and I really do thank you for doing it. I thought that was true. There's a fairly large percentage of this class who are in that group, and we're grateful at this generational rejuvenation of the call and response to Christian ministry. It's traditional that our graduates leave to the school a gift. And they, this year, have asked George Johnson to represent the class in the rendering of this gift. So, if you will, George, we will gladly hear your comments.
President Lawley, Dean Ashcraft, honored guests, on behalf of the 1986 December graduating class, I am pleased to present a gift in the form of a check to be used as an endowment for a shelf in the Southeastern Library in honor of the late Dr. John Steele, Professor of Historical Theology.
George, thank you, and students, graduates, alumni now, thank you for this gift. You have not only selected a gift that will go on giving, but you have honored yourselves as you have honored one of the great men around which this seminary has been built over these last years, and we thank you for this unusual and thoughtful and generous way of leaving a legacy for our school. We're grateful for that. One of our predecessors said that brains and books and bricks are the things of which seminaries exist. If I added a fourth, it would be spirit. And I think John Steele emulates that dimension of Southeastern as much as any man who has ever lived. So thank you especially for honoring him as you give this gift. Now we will continue with the program as you have it printed, with the solo, and then we will hear our colleague Sam Ballantyne, Associate Professor of Hebrew and Old Testament, as he charges the graduates and all of us in his address, love God and live like it. Anita Robinson.
Sweetness fills my breast, but sweet affection. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Elohenu, Yahweh Echad. V'ahavta Yahweh Elohecha, v'kol levaka, uv'kol nafshecha, uv'kol me'odecha. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your life, and with all of your capacity. Thus spoke Moses to the Israelites encamped in the plains of Moab. Beyond them was the river Jordan, and beyond the Jordan was Canaan, the promised land. They were almost there. After years of struggle and preparation, some of it faithfully executed, some of it not, they were almost at pay dirt. Almost, but not quite. They had not yet passed over. They were still in an interim period. Between that time when God had elected them to be God's special representatives and the time when they reached and fulfilled those promises of the gift of land. During this interim period, there was still much to be decided. The good news is that there is still much that can be decided. What we have in the book of Deuteronomy is presented as Moses' farewell sermon to these his co-inheritors of God's promises. It is a farewell sermon because Moses will no longer go with them. Their journey will go on, but without his leadership. Indeed, Moses had always been only a mediator between them and God, a kind of liaison, linking up God's words to them and their response to God. God had always been their true leader. And in this there was to be no change. I have chosen to use these farewell words of Moses as the genesis of my charge to you graduates. Some of the parallels between that situation and our situation are transparent and significant, particularly those that pertain to you and your position here today. Between those years of preparation and now achieving long-awaited goals. So I pray you will hear these words as exhortation, sending you forth with the hopes and the blessings of this faculty who have walked with you through these years to this, the last place of encampment, and who have invested so much in your successful completion of the journey. Some of the parallels between that situation and ours are less felicitous, especially those that would link my address to you and Moses' farewell sermon to them. I trust that this is neither my last act of ministry, nor that I will be denied entrance like Moses into the promised land. These parallels I choose to ignore this day. Based, of course, upon sound exegetical and hermeneutical principles and blatant self-defense. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Yahweh alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your life and with all of your capacity. Hear and love. With these words, Moses reminds his fellow sojourners of the fundamental principle that defines relationship with God, love. You shall love your God, the only response worthy of God, the only commitment that binds one ultimately to God and through God to ultimate commitments is love. Total, complete, unqualified, all-consuming love. To keep our perspective, we must, of course, remember that Moses is urging here no simple love. This is not a promotion of some warm feeling that insulates one from the necessity of ethical obedience. Remember, this love will in due course be given concrete expression in the commandments of the Torah. It will be made clear, crystal clear, that without obedience, there can be no genuine love. But it is significant, I think, very significant, I think, that before even the first commandment is reviewed, Moses begins here with the exhortation to love God. Moses speaks then first of things ultimate, loving God. All else follows and is necessarily dependent on getting this right. You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love with all of your heart, and with all of your life, and with all of your capacity. Such a love is to be all-consuming. It is to be written inside on the heart, and outside on the doorpost of the home. It is to be printed inside on the minds and hearts of the children, and bound outside on the forehead and the hand. They are to talk of this love when they sit in their homes, and when they journey on their ways, and when they return to their place. Inside and outside, children and parents, houses and hearts, inner musings and outward conversations, everywhere one looks and everything one hears, the sight and the sound are to testify to the same concern. Everything is to be a witness to this fundamental commitment. You shall love your God with all that you have and with all that you are. Everything else is secondary. It has been almost 8 years ago now that I began my teaching career. During the first few months of that first semester, a wise older colleague, nearing the end of what was going to be 40 years teaching at the seminary level, took me aside to offer what I now understand to be part of his departing instructions to me. It was to be a word from one who had traveled far and learned much, to one who had just begun and had yet a world to learn. Looking on the difficulties and the frustrations that were ours in that particular situation, this friend said, "Sam, it is not too difficult, even in these circumstances, to be the people that God has called us to be. All that it requires is that we love God and live like it." Love God and live like it. I have never forgotten those words, though I think I am only now just beginning to understand them. They strike me as an apt paraphrase of Moses' instruction to the Israelites, "You shall love the Lord your God completely." With each passing day, I become more and more convinced that both Moses and my friend had seen through to the heart of what is fundamental in our relationship with God. But it is not too difficult. Is it not very difficult? There seem so many things determined to detract us from loving God. So many temptations towards preoccupation with the trivial rather than the ultimate. The church in Colossae wrestled with this problem. For the Christians in Colossae, there had arisen a problem, a threat to the church. Some false teaching, errorist teaching, one commentator has labeled it. Teaching filled with error. Teaching which threatened to sap their energies and divert their attention towards things trivial. The specifics of this teaching most probably relate to the heresy of Gnosticism, with the emphasis of avoiding things material in the hopes of attaining to things eternal. We may leave aside the details of this heresy in the hopes of securing the metaphor that is appropriate for us here today. Specifically, errorist teaching that diverts Christians from ultimate commitments. To the church at Colossae, the apostle writes, If, therefore, with Christ you died to the elements of the universe, why then do you allow yourselves to be dogmatized? That is to say, dictated to by the regulations of the world. You are living as if others have lordship over your life. They urge on you their regulations. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. These taboos have the appearance of wisdom. They give the impression of promoting the common good. They pretend to deal with ultimate truth, but in truth, they are only trivial. These regulations are useless. They are of no value in the practice of true Christian piety. What is more, the apostle urges, not only are they trivial, these concerns are bogus. They are fake. They purport to be based on the wisdom of the ages, itself derived directly from God, but in fact, they are no more than human precepts and doctrines. They are fake. They do not come from God. They are self-made, self-made taboos in the service of demigods who promote preoccupation with things worldly. If with Christ you have died to all other claims of lordship save that of Christ alone, why then do you now bow yourself down before these gods of legalism? Don't do it, the apostle urges. Don't sacrifice the ultimate for what is only immediate. To surrender to regulations such as these would be to revert to slavery. And Christ has freed you from slavery, from dietary taboos, from ascetic prescriptions, or from any other form of errorist teaching which tries to bond you to things trivial. Since you have been raised with Christ, you are free. Free for and summoned to things above. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Yahweh alone. And you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love God and live like it, by seeking the things above where Christ is, not the things below. My student friends and peers, graduates, I submit to you that neither the Israelites in Moab nor the Christians in Colossae have a monopoly on being distracted from ultimate commitments. I have become increasingly concerned during these last years that your learning and our teaching and much of our ministries together have become too preoccupied with things that I would judge in the light of these exhortations from Moses and the apostle to be trivial. Our denomination seems bent on insisting that we give ourselves to the resolving of a number of regulations, do's and don'ts of the faith, regulations which insist on uniformity at the expense of freedom, and what is worse, regulations that promote the trivial at the expense of the ultimate, at the expense of an all-consuming love for God Almighty. Errancy, inerrancy, fallibility, infallibility, what, may I ask, do these have to do with God, or with loving God with every ounce of one's life? How do these religious requirements advance the kingdom of God? How can they be understood as integral somehow to our mandate to set our minds on things above? Such concerns may give the impression or the appearance of having wisdom, but I submit to you that they are bogus. Just as certainly as those dietary taboos urged on the Colossians, these prescriptions urged on us in these troubling days are human precepts and doctrines. They are of no real consequence in true Christian piety. I urge you, graduates and friends, as I remind myself and my colleagues on this faculty,
Do not surrender the ultimate to the trivial. Love God. Love God with everything that is in you. All else is secondary. Do not give up freedom in Christ for false inhibitions or self-made regulations. Have no dealings with religious restrictions based on pretended authority. Do not allow yourselves to be dogmatized by trivia. Do not surrender vigorous and enthusiastic Bible study to the dull search for acceptable interpretations. Do not allow creative and energizing ministry to give way to preoccupation with denominational strategizing and calculating. And do not let your love for God and your ministry as agents of God's love be reduced to the sterility of right or wrong, true or false. Wherever you go from this place, and among whatever distractions you must minister, see to it above all else that you love God. Some 24 chapters later, Moses concluded his farewell sermon with these words: "For this commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' It is not beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea to us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word which I command you this day is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so that you can do it." Thus spoke Moses long ago to the Israelites. And so I charge you this day, our honored graduates, love God and live like it. Amen. And so may it be.
Even though we are here in a chapel and the context, as so beautifully, profoundly put forth by our colleague Sam Ballantyne, is a context of worship from the top of the mind to the bottom of the heart, there is nonetheless that element of celebration. And we want to celebrate what we are about to do in the conferring of these diplomas with every one of you, the family and the friends of these graduates. You deserve to participate. And they very much desire your participation, and so do we. So then, while we are conferring the diplomas, if you are a friend or family member or a church member or otherwise attached to one of these graduates, while that person's name is being called and he or she is coming to receive the diploma, we would like to ask you to stand and remain standing during the time the person is being greeted and given the diploma, so that you might be identified with that graduate. We want you to be a part of it, and if you prefer pictures, we invite you to come as the graduate approaches the podium to this area so that you can take pictures and cherish this moment for a long, long time. Now we are prepared to confer degrees upon those candidates which have been approved by the faculty. Dean Ashcraft?
The Associate of Divinity degree was designed for men and women who responded to the call of Christian service somewhat later than other students and after a career in some other field. It is a program of study including biblical, historical, theological, and ministry areas taught on the beginning college level and leading to the Associate of Divinity degree. The purpose of the program is to equip men and women with basic knowledge and skills so that they can serve effectively as pastors, bivocational ministers, or lay leaders. The Associate of Divinity curriculum is composed of the same courses as those in the Master of Divinity curriculum and are taught at the college level by the same faculty members who teach the courses on the master's level. The degree requires 56 semester hours of work or a minimum of 2 years to complete. President Lally, Will the candidate for the Associate of Divinity degree please stand? I present to you the candidate who has completed all requirements and who has been approved by the faculty for the Associate of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon her that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and upon the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon you the degree Associate of Divinity with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forth to receive your diploma.
Linda E. Bell. The Master of Religious Education is a program of studies, including 60 semester hours or 2 full years, designed to equip persons for service in Christian education and related ministries. Candidates for this degree must complete all foundational courses required of the Master of Divinity degree and utilize their elective area for specialization in the field of Christian education. Will the candidates for the Master of Religious Education please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Religious Education, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Religious Education, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, on the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
Charles Edward Blackman. Larry Odell Boddy. James B. Denton. Michael Howard Ennis. Burnett Carroll Owenby. The Master of Divinity degree prepares men and women for leadership in Christian ministry. The program is designed to be completed within 3 years of full-time study or 84 semester hours. It consists of basic core courses in theology and ministry disciplines and elective courses chosen to achieve a well-rounded theological education with some specialization for ministry. Most students of the seminary enroll for the Master of Divinity program as their graduate professional degree. Southeastern Seminary offers 2 specializations of the Master of Divinity degree, one in Christian education and the other in church music. Candidates for these specialized degrees accomplish the basic MDiv requirements and use their elective courses to achieve the specialties in the 2 areas. President Lawley, will the candidates for the Master of Divinity degrees please rise? I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, at the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
Wade Martin Abercrombie. John Marion Adams. Terry Barr Ash. Tammy L. Askew. Kenneth Drew Bagnall. Mark Matthew Lanier Barber. C. R. Bell. Marion Osborne Berkey. Randall Robert Berryhill. Victor Charles Blackwell. Stephen D. Bostick. Guy Barton Bradbury. David MacDonald Brisson. Ronald Barting Brown. David Randall Buckner. C. Woodrow Butler. Edward Lloyd Buttram. Richard D. Cato. Michael W. Shaley. Crystal A. Champion. Kevin Bruce Champion. Kevin Errol Cheney. John David Colson. Eddie Allen Cooper. Randy Marion Cowan. Ronald Dean Craddock. Dennis Brian Kraft. Michael Lee Creekmore. Glenn Cameron Curran. Reginald Gay Dawkins Jr. Carl Eugene Dennison in absentia. James Welborn Ellis Jr. Richard Robert Fancher. Brian Keith Farmer. Clifton T. Forrester, graduating in absentia. Charles Robert Green. William David Harrington. James Weaver Holmes. Carlton David Huggins. Robert Louis Hunter, Jr. George Henry Johnson III. Donald Raymond Joyner. Paul Toontyke Kim. Wallace Michael Cuck. Cecil Kenneth Lance, Jr. Michael Langston. Michael Stephen Linhart. Christopher Scott Martin. Deborah Yvonne McGuire. Phillips Lamoureux McRae, Sr. Frank Lee Merrill. Vance L. Midget. Charlie Edgar Minton. Barry John Morris. James David Moynihan. Shelton Murphy. Edward D. Northrop, Jr. Daniel Dykeune Park. Phil Gilbert Pilgrim. James Randolph Pittman, Jr. John Hammond Plunkett. William Bennett Reynolds. Anita Gwen Robertson. Stephen Paul Rolls. Mary Barber Sager. Kenita Louise Sherman. Christopher Marlowe Spurlock. Kenneth Philip Steeling. Charles Michael Stevens. James Augustus Thomas. Kathy Jo Tomlinson. Norris N. Trice. Jim Randall Wadford. Barry Keith Weber. Albert Randolph Wellman. Rudolph Lee West. William L. West. Raymond Frank White. David Harold Wyatt. Douglas Merritt York, Jr. Richard William Brunson. Wu Bong Chang. Stephen Purcell Deornelis. Ted Middleton Fanning in absentia. Richard Edward Graves. James Paul Haywood. Larissa Pinion Hayward. Rebecca Lynn Holcomb. Elwood Owen Johnson. Cynthia A. Leach. Daniel Dongwon Lee. Dina Cassidy Lucy. Ronnie Lyles McCarson. Bruce Edward Minette. Daisy Joan Newton. Sylvia Ann Newton. Christopher William Phelps. James Edward Rivers. Sandra K. Self. Donna Renee Yost. The Master of Theology degree is a graduate research degree open to those who have completed the MDiv degree or its equivalent. Admission to this program requires facility in two foreign languages, of which at least one must be a biblical language, Hebrew or Greek. Candidates must have achieved a minimum of a B average on all work at the MDiv level, must have established their ability in research and composition with satisfactory scores on certain tests. THM students major in one of four curriculum areas: biblical, historical, theological, or ministry. Will the candidates for the Master of Theology degrees please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining.
Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to be invested with your Master of Theology hood and to receive your diploma.
Jimmy Preston Green. William Marshall Hoyle. Samuel Olenrumola Iomodu, graduating in absentia. The purpose of the Doctor of Ministry program is to equip students for the practice of ministry at a high level of professional competency. Candidates for this degree have completed the Master of Divinity degree or its equivalent with high academic achievement and have demonstrated competence and potential for ministry. As a general rule, they have had at least 2 years of professional experience prior to beginning the DMIN program, and they must be engaged in ministry throughout their enrollment in the Doctor of Ministry degree. The work is composed of classes and seminars, ministry under supervision, a specific project in ministry, a report on which is submitted to the faculty committee for evaluation and examination. The DMIN degree is the highest degree awarded by this institution. Will the candidates for the Doctor of Ministry degree please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to be invested with your Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Clifton Joe Barrow. Steve N. Brown. Samuel George Cato. Randy Cecil Gardner. John S. Hammett. Martha L. Henderson. Robert Mark Jordan. Gary Stephen Kaufman. Paul S. Kennedy. Clyde Pinckney Thomas. Hubert Hoyt Welch, Jr.
Now will you join the graduates and others in the litany of mission? You who are gathered here today as graduates are not here by a simple accident of circumstance. But it is not enough simply to become equipped for the work lies before you. This too is the word of the Lord. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Same journey of faith that led you here now leads you to other places around the world. You go to exercise the gifts that God has given to you and to employ the knowledge gained through study. But even this will not be enough. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. but the greatest of these is love.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, by whose hand we all have been guided to this point in our journey, we offer to you these fellow and sister pilgrims, the class of December 1986, with thanksgiving for what you have done and hope for what you will continue to do in their lives from this day and forevermore. In the power of your Spirit, may they lead us forth from this place to be and do the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.